so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Schaffner? Is it March, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your heart, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
So the third episode with Judy and Bing, this one, both of us were listening to it, and we both noticed that it didn't have quite the dialogue of the earlier two, and there was a lot more songs in it and things, which is always nice with Judy to have lots of singing. But we feel like some of the songs, certainly it's been written that in this, when she came back this time, the reason they could fit her doing three shows in one day is because they took a lot of the songs from previous performances and plugged them in so that she wouldn't have to spend an hour and a half with Bing theoretically recording all this. And of course it'd take longer than a half hour to record a half hour show. So it would have taken hours and hours, and to keep it down, they probably imported a lot of the songs from other places, from other shows she'd been on. And so we think a few of these, for sure. There's one where Dixie Melody, where I'm not sure if it's on this episode or which episode it's on, but whenever Dixie Melody came on, being like stumbled across the beginning and messed up the introduction. And I totally remembered that from an earlier performance. And I went back and looked, and it was the same. He fumbled it. He either purposely fumbled it the exact same way, which I doubt. It probably is directly from that. Yeah. So, but Mindy, what is your take on this episode? Same thing, or?
Yeah, I felt it was disjointed for the exact same reason, because there just wasn't a lot of energy to this. The first one I think we liked so well because there is that fresh off these performances energy that she brings to it. But this is more, I think you mentioned when we were talking beforehand, it's kind of a clip show. And it's, there are these hard edits that I think would drive Bing nuts. Like, I don't know if it was just they were kind of just on fumes at that point with his show, but he was such a perfectionist that they would cut to what I know for at least one performance, and I can't remember which song, I had heard the audience reaction was exactly like the last time, and I just feel like when they came off this song, you can hear this hard audio switch. Mm-hmm. And then he is talking to her again. And it just feels very poorly done and unprofessional almost. And he was he had such high standards for the technical part of what they did. It was just kind of surprising to hear.
Yeah. Well, and the writer I was reading from, he was saying that he looked back and compared, and so he could tell exactly which shows came from where. And so over these course of these three episodes that Judy's on, he was saying that the duets that she would sing with Bing were almost all brought from other places.
And
he wasn't sure if the ones where Judy sings by herself, if that was the case or not. So who knows? Some of these performances by Judy by herself might be true ones that she did. I would think if she's performing in front of an audience with Bing, she would probably want to sing at least a song or two. I mean, it would be kind of depressing for them to just come in and hear them doing a little banter here and there and going, oh, the songs will all be put in later. We won't actually sing for you at all. Or,
could you imagine? Let's play this record
for you while we have a sip of drink here.
And here's Judy Garland. Oh, my God. And she's gone. Okay.
And they're playing us a record of her song. That's great.
Yeah, that would stink. That would stink.
Yeah. But the other piece I think happens here, because we were noticing that the first episode that Judy was in was the best one, and the second was second best, and the third one.
Right.
But I was thinking if they recorded them in order, they would start to lose energy by the third program they're recording in a row. So, because they recorded this all in the same day. So I could see how your energy may be flagging a little bit, and that peppiness that you have at the beginning might not be there for the third episode right. that you're recording. So who knows?
That's true. And maybe that's what it feels like, is there's a little filler in there too. Yeah. They probably didn't have enough fresh material maybe to get through.
Could be, yeah, it could very well be. It could be that they thought they had enough for three shows and they realized they were a little short, or something didn't record quite right or something. And so they said, right. fit another song in here, even though it doesn't fit very well. And so you end up with a performance that's not the best. But, you know, I'm okay with that. Just hearing Judy and Bing together is so fabulous. And this is the last time. And this is the last time they will be together as far as this show is concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she ever appeared on any of Bing's television shows, and I don't know if she ever appeared, if he ever appeared on her show.
If that happened, I don't remember ever seeing it, because I've Googled them together,
yes, so
and that has never, as far as I know, that never came up.
And you think it would. So
you think it would.
I don't think they were together. Well, and I think that's one of the things about you doing all these intros and presenting all these Judy shows. This whole relationship we have with Bing, I mean, we've talked about it before, about how they could make a movie out of this, because it's mm-hmm. so interesting the way that they got along so well, and the way that he saved her career a number of times, and the things she wrote about him and the things he wrote about her. It's just amazing. And yet, if you didn't listen to these radio shows, you would completely miss that. They were never in a mm-hmm. film together. They were never in like a television together that we know of, but man, they did a lot of radio together. So both on his show and on Command Performance and some of the other wartime shows that came on to entertain the troops, they would be together. I mean, I think that's essentially where they met, or at least where they got to realize that they had mm-hmm. chemistry together. And then from there on, he just kept on inviting her on his shows after the war.
And I
experienced a lot of it.
And you hear, I mean, and it always struck me that there's so many of these shows that you, I think I probably mentioned before, it's hard to sometimes pick out what would be interesting or different. But I felt like every single time you hear the warmth there, he very much adores her. You can hear that in his voice.
Yep.
She adores him too, but it's just such a, because he's so snarky with Hope, and he's so flippant with whoever, but with her, even when he's playing their little skits, you can tell he has a lot of fun with her.
Well, the only person that I know he brought on as much as Judy, or close to that, would be Bob Hope, which totally makes sense because they were like mm-hmm. a pair and worked together. And then Jimmy Stewart he brought on a lot. And you could tell he had a real affection for Jimmy Stewart in a similar way. I mean, when he talks to Jimmy or Judy, there's this just friendly uncle type of affection that just comes across. And it's so neat to hear these and for folks that have only listened to Bing and Judy, you might want to listen to some of Bing's shows with some other folks, because then you can really judge and see how special it truly is when he's with Judy, that he's a little bit different than he is with almost everybody mm-hmm. else. And I love that. Yeah.
Well, I think part of it too, I mean, there's so many elements to their friendship, but I think what I've read about him and what I've read about people who worked with her, he had I don't know if it would be perfect pitch. I don't know if she was somebody who was categorized that way, but she was so naturally gifted with music that he was somebody who would appreciate just the talent alone, even if he didn't like her as a person, which he clearly did. But if he didn't, he still probably would have had her on, because I think he enjoyed singing with her so much, because he was an expert in his field. And she was an expert in hers, and it just happened to be the same complementary type of singing. And they just sound great together, because they both know how to make their partner sound great. So, and I had sent you a video of her with Barbara Streisand on her show.
Yes.
On Judy's show. And because of when you have a Barbara Streisand, who's known to be a diva, who's known to be a perfectionist, woman's giggling next to Judy Garland, because Judy Garland is singing and treating her as an equal, and you can see Judy turn to Barbara and start giggling, and just, she's just so pleased to be with somebody who she doesn't have to worry about out singing. They complimented each other. They kept raising each other's game, and they loved it, and you could tell. And I just get the same, even though you're not seeing it with Bing, I hear it with Bing. He's doing the same thing that Judy and Barbara were doing. Which was
that is a great piece. I agree. For our listeners, I will again link to that so that if you go to the show notes on this episode, you'll see the Judy and Barbara Streisand performance together. It really is phenomenal. And it's funny because it starts off a little slow. I think, if I remember right, Barbara pretty much has it from the get-go. But Judy is like not quite there the first time through.
Sure.
But as they keep going and trading off back and forth,
uh-huh.
keeps raising the bar further, and I think it even surprises Barbara. She's like, "Oh wait, we're going to go that far? Okay, then we'll." And Judy's like, "Oh, I can top that." It just goes back and forth, and Judy just goes to tremendous lengths in that whole thing. It's fantastic.
And I think, and that's what I love too, because I've seen, especially in more modern times, you'll get these two our voices together, and they're clearly trying to outdo each other.
Yes.
And this was more of a, it just reminded me of, I don't know, just two great basketball players taking ridiculous shots, like the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan thing. She's like,
"Perfect.
Oh, okay, kid, you got that. I know you can do this." And like, but it's more of like, just, it's like, I know you can do this. And then she went off, and it was never made to look like
it's not a competition, really. It's
exactly.
It's just going, wow, you did that. Okay, well, here's something I can do. Oh, let me see what you can do. Well,
it just reminds me too of, there were things that you can get really geeky and nerdy about that you just love. And the people in your life love you, and they'll listen. Oh, that's really interesting. They'll ask you questions. But if you find somebody who actually loves it as much as you, you're just like, oh, it's amazing. And you just have a totally different kind of conversation. And I feel like duets are the same way.
It's like us with Judy. I can't talk to anybody about Judy like this except for you. The other thing I was going to say about, because I want to say this before we leave the last Bing show here, is one thing that he does differently with Judy than any other performer, he brings her early in the show. So many times maybe he'll do one song, or sometimes he doesn't even do one song. He just does the intro and just jokes around with his announcer. And then immediately Judy comes out and they sing right together from the very beginning. Usually he doesn't bring people out until he's sung a couple or three songs. And with her, he brings her out really early because I think he wants to have more songs with her, more duets, and then they feature. Also, the other piece that changes is he generally fits in more songs when he has her on the show than he normally does. Now, it's tricky because people really like their banter, too, so they try and fit in their banter. So it's like they're cramming in. So a lot of them, the songs they do are medleys where they can do multiple songs quickly. And they're not full songs. They're truncated versions of the songs. And that way they can fit in more songs and still have more dialogue going. So I think that's
a good point.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why the third episode just felt a little stagnant, because they just didn't have as much of that banter that you're used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Today, smokers all over the country are changing to Chesterfield, the first and only cigarette to name all its ingredients. Chesterfield tells you what it's made of, so you'll know what gives you the best possible smoke.
Sound off!
Sound off!
Sound off for Chesterfield!
Much milder with a better taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield's the one to buy. Millions say they satisfy.
Sound off
for Chesterfield!
Sound off
for Chesterfield!
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it
today!
Someone waits for me.
This is Stan Crowley. Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Mares, and Bing's guest, Miss Judy Garland.
All right, Ken. That's right, Ken.
Tonight, Judy and I have a big batch of songs for the folks, so I'll start the old jukebox rolling with Be My Life's Companion. John Scott?
My life's companion, and you'll never grow old. I'll love you so much that you'll never grow old. When there's joy in living, you just never grow old. You've got to stay young, 'cause you'll never grow old. People who are lonely can be old at 33. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to me. Be my life's companion, and you'll never grow old.
No, no.
You'll never grow old. No, you'll never grow old. Love and youth and happiness are yours to have and hold. Be my life's companion, and you'll never grow old. I know a man who's lonely, and he's only 33.
No one wants to be old at 33.
'Cause your disposition sours like a lemon on a tree.
Don't let it happen to you.
And don't let it happen to me. My life's companion, and you'll never grow old.
Never, never.
I'll love you so much
that
you'll never grow old.
Never, never.
Love and youth and happiness are yours to have and hold.
Be my life's companion, be my life's companion, and you'll never grow old.
Now, friends, to show you why Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke, we've named all our ingredients, and we're the first and only cigarette to do so. These ingredients are what make Chesterfield's much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. And here they are for every smoker to hear and remember.
The right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities. And Chesterfields are kept tasty and fresh with tried and tested moistening agents, costly glycerol and pure sugars, which are natural to tobacco, nothing else. These have been proved entirely safe for use in the mouth. And your Chesterfield is wrapped in cigarette paper of the highest purity.
Folks, those are the proven ingredients to give you the best possible smoke, so you can see why we're glad to name them. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today. Now I get along here with an old song that's enjoying a bit of a revival. At least it is with me. It's called After You've Gone. Mr. Buddy Cole at the piano.
After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the dearest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, When you grow lonely, your heart'll break like mine, and you'll want me only after you've gone, after you've gone away. After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the dearest pal you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart'll break like mine, you'll want me only after you've gone, after you've gone away, so far away, after you've gone, after you've gone away.
That is delightful, buddy, and thanks a lot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is our pleasure to present Miss Judy Garland.
Oh, thank you, Bing. Thank you. Gee, do you realize this is the third week I've been on your show?
Well, the welcome mat's always out for you, Judy. What are you going to open up with tonight?
How about You Made Me Love You?
Oh, my very favorite. That's okay. The one I wanted to hear you say.
I didn't want to do it. You made me want you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You made me cry, 'cause I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. That's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. I didn't want to tell you, I didn't want to tell you. I need some love, that's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. Give me, give me, give me, give me what I cry for. You know you've got a brand of kisses that I die for. You
always. certainly fine, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Bing.
You know, lots of people think that song was introduced by you in 1938, when, as a matter of fact, it was written long before you were born, in 1912, by Jimmy Monaco and Joe McCarthy.
Golly, you're full of information tonight, aren't you?
I fairly bulge.
I wasn't going to mention that.
So sweet. You see, Judy, thanks to Abel Green, the able editor of Variety, I am full of information because he has just sent me a copy of a very useful new book titled Variety Music Cavalcade, a complete chronology of music published in the United States, giving title, composer, librettist, publisher, and date of copyright with references to contemporaneous events, the only book of its kind.
You know, this book could be an indispensable reference for newspapers, magazines, music publishers, radio, TV stations, writers, critics, program arrangers, and musical directors.
And also singers, which is us.
Well, we've read the jacket of the book. Let's open it and see what's inside now.
Look here, Judy, 1899. These are some pretty good songs, then. My Wild Irish Rose.
Yeah.
Banks of the Wabash, Hearts and Flowers.
Oh, let's sing that.
No, that drags. Just a little. See, here's one we can do, Judy. Hello, my baby.
Well, hit it, Harry.
All right, Judith. Oh, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello, my baby. This is your honey. This is your ragtime gal. Sending a kiss by wire.
Oh, well, baby, my heart's on fire.
I won't refuse you. Don't want to lose you. Then I'd be left alone.
Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. That still rocks pretty good, doesn't it?
It was a little risque, don't you think?
Oh, no, not at all. But to get along, Judy, I note here under 19.5 that some of the big tunes were I Don't Care, In the Shade of the Old Apple Tree, My Gal Sal, Claire de Lune. Say, that's a good one, Claire de Lune. We could hum that.
Well, if we're going to hum anything, let's do Blue Tango.
No, let's stay right here in 19.5. Now, let's see, here's one of the... oh, yeah, the Whistler and His Dog.
All right, you whistle and I'll bark.
Here's the one. In my merry Oldsmobile. Stand back, everybody. I'm going to crank her up.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile.
Down the road of life we'll fly, automobubbling, you and I.
And to the church we'll swiftly steal. Then our wedding bells will peal.
You can go as far as you like with me
in my merry Oldsmobile. If you want to see a car that's really full of sex appeal,
if you please,
come out riding in my jazzy, snazzy Oldsmobile.
Oh, you kid.
And if I should steal a kiss, please tell me that you won't be flustered.
Don't get too big for your goggles and your linen duster buster.
On the menu of romance, you are my very favorite course.
Oh, skidoo, with that corny line of yours, you really ought to get a horse.
No, it's true. How'd you like this pretty wedding ring?
Well, now that's a very different thing.
In my merry Oldsmobile.
What a happy pair without a single care.
Merry Oldsmobile.
What a grand machine, a double peachy keen.
Merry Oldsmobile.
Yes, sir. What would young lovers have done if the automobile hadn't been invented, huh?
Oh, they'd have thought of something.
You know, Judy, skipping through here quickly to 1930, I note that there was a little bit of a depression then. A lot of people weren't able to ride in cars. They were back on their feet, but it didn't seem to hinder romance. Walking wasn't so bad.
I guess that brings us up to walking my baby back home, doesn't it?
That's the one.
Oh, gee, but it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home.
Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song.
I'm reciting a poem. Owls go by and they give me the eye.
Walking my baby back home. We stop for a while.
She gives me a smile.
I snuggle my head to his chest. We start into pet.
And that's when I guess her very best talcum all over my vest. After I kind of straighten my tie,
I have to borrow his comb.
One kiss, then we continue again, walking my baby, walking my baby, walking my baby back home.
Ah, Judith, that was beautiful.
What's next, Bing?
Now I think we should do our modern lyrics to Mary Oldsmobile. I'm a young fella. I've just driven up in my brand new 1952 Olds. You rush up to the car and I say, what do you think of it, Judy?
I'll tell you, it's hydromatic, just like you.
What do you mean?
Why, the car is shiftless, too.
There's no clutch.
Well, what about me?
Ah, when I park, both hands will be free.
Not for long.
What a body, it's all streamlined.
Thank you.
With a little spare tire behind.
You fresh!
We go hand in glove down the road of love in my Mary Oldsmobile.
L-O-V-E.
In my Mary Oldsmobile.
O-U-Q-T.
In our Mary Oldsmobile. Thank you, honey. Judy, now I think we should bring our little cavalcade further up to date with Irving Berlin's very nice love song from Call Me Madam, You're Just in Love.
You started, I believe.
That's right.
I hear singing and there's no one there. Smell blossoms and the trees are bare. All day long I seem to walk on air. I wonder why, I wonder why. I keep tossing in my sleep at night. And what's more, I've blown my appetite. Stars that used to twinkle in the skies are twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why.
You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising that you feel very strange but nice. Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter, because I've been there once or twice. Put your head on my shoulder. You need someone who's older. I rub down with a velvet glove. There is nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant ache. You're not sick, you're just in love. You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising that you feel very strange but nice. Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter, because I've been there once or twice.
I keep tossing in my sleep at night.
You need someone who's older.
And what's more, I've lost my appetite.
There is nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant day.
I'm twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why.
Just in love, so in love.
Friends, you get out of Chesterfield the best possible smoke, so it's just good common sense to change to Chesterfield. They're much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. because we put into them only the best ingredients.
The world's best tobaccos, kept tasty and fresh by pure, costly moistening agents. Cigarette paper of the highest purity. These are the ingredients that give you the best possible smoke.
Research tells us that. Research in Chesterfield Laboratories, the newest and the best in the business.
And don't forget, Chesterfields are made in the newest, most modern cigarette factories.
There you have it, folks. The best ingredients, backed up by the best research and manufacture. That's what's in a Chesterfield for you. It's just good old common sense that you should change to Chesterfield today.
Say, Bing, what you and Ken have been saying makes good sense to me and a lot of people.
Well, I sure hope it does, Judy.
Well, let's put it to music.
Sound off?
Sound off. What's in the Chesterfield for you? Just listen, folks, and follow our cue.
The best tobacco's money can buy, kept tasty and fresh so they satisfy.
The best tobacco's wrapped just right in cigarette paper so pure and white.
Our factories are the newest and best. Our research labs top all the rest.
Just add it all up, and when you do, you'll sound off for Chesterfield's too.
Sound off
for Chesterfield. Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it.
Today!
Sentimental reasons, I don't think you should leave us until you sing, you know what?
What?
You know.
You mean this? Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby somewhere. That you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, birds fly over the why then, oh, why can't I?
It's really been a kick working with you these past 3 weeks. And, well, drop in any time, huh?
I will, Bing.
Au revoir, Judy.
Aloha.
Till we meet again.
A bientôt.
A la vie en rose. Best of everything to you, Judy. See you next week, friends. And remember, Chesterfield names all its ingredients, so you'll know what makes Chesterfield much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. The authority for that is a well-known research organization. So sound off for Chesterfield, folks. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Miss Rosemary Clooney and Joe Venuti. Miss Judy Garland is currently appearing at the Curran Theater in San Francisco.